Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We start today's exchange with JPR reporter Roman Battaglia. He interviewed Dave Willis about the BLM's plan for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Dave advocated for the creation of the monument in the 1980s and now weighs in with his thoughts about new plans for its management.
I was curious first, before we talk about the new resource management plan that has just been signed by the BLM, I was curious about the previous resource management plan that I believe it was 2008. What were your thoughts on that plan? Were you supportive of that plan? I mean, did it do enough to, you know, protect species, or, you know, was there a lot left to be desired there?
It wasn't a bad plan. And it was done by BLM staff who knew the monument very well, cared about it, and gave it their best shot. It wasn't perfect, but I'm sad to say it is better than the plan that BLM just signed that was written by BLM staff who didn't really know the monument. It wasn't a priority for them. And I'm afraid they were influenced by too much by the BLM traditional custom and culture. You know, BLM was established by combining the General Land Office, which sold land off, and the U.S. Grazing Service, which was controlled by ranchers, and the ONC administration, which had been cutting like there was no tomorrow. And even though that was decades ago, BLM continues to struggle to overcome its beginnings.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like that the major benefits, or, you know, the best part about the original resource management plan was that it was written by people in the BLM who, you know, staff who cared a lot about it and who were even staff who wanted the monument to happen in the first place. So they had this sort of vested interest in it, whereas, you know, this new plan has been written by people who might have, you know, been caring more about the BLM's goals, not the, you know, the goals of a national monument necessarily.
Well, it's not for no reason that some clear-eyed critics call BLM the Bureau of Beef, Logging, and Mining. And in this particular case, I'm afraid that shows up. The cattle, some dubious promises are made about studying the effects of cattle, but they haven't done any studies since that 2008 that have been worth anything. In fact, they've refused to study using the cover of what's called the grazing rider to renew leases a number of times. The logging is very heavy-handed in this monument plan. You know, if you're a hammer, every problem is a nail. And if you're a chainsaw, every problem is a tree. And for the most part, BLM is kind of a one-trick pony chainsaw. And that shows up in this plan far too much. Mm-hmm. The original plan included elements of the Northwest Forest Plan, the Aquatic Conservation Strategy, which required that agency actions not retard water quality and stream health, and the survey and manage protocols, which have been called look before you log, at what the logging will do to species in the monument that the proclamation says should be protected. And this new plan ditches the Northwest Forest Plan elements. No aquatic conservation strategy, no survey and manage protocol. The plan also ditches areas of critical environmental concern and research natural areas. And that's because they say, oh, we're going to manage the whole monument in a way that would protect those. We're dubious that in fact would be the case by so much of what the plan says. And in fact, if they're going to manage the whole monument to protect it, we wonder why the plan says they could even trade away monument land inside monument boundaries so it'd no longer be part of the monument. that to us doesn't sound like managing the whole monument as though it were an area of critical environmental concern.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of different sections of this that, you know, are sort of a step back or, you know, a step down from what the original plan was to protect this monument that, you know, that it's not doing anymore, designating areas of critical environmental concern or research areas or things that, you know, aren't being included in this new plan that, you know, have been previously discussed or used before.
Yeah, and they totally passed on feral horses. The eastern end of the monument overlaps with the western end of the Pokegama feral horse management area that BLM has. BLM's determined the appropriate management level is 30 to 50 horses, and BLM's studies in the herd management area have shown over 250 horses. So we said at least you shouldn't have a feral horse herd management area in the western end of the monument, especially right along Jenny Creek that's designated wild and scenic by the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. And they totally blew us off on that. And so there's a feral horse management area inside a national monument established to protect biodiversity, and that's ridiculous.
And just so I understand, and so others who might not know understand, I mean, what's the importance then? Is that because feral horses, you know, they're not native to the area and are kind of ruining the biodiversity?
Well, they're certainly not native, but, you know, even the cattle, and even the cattle are allegedly managed by BLM and only out there seasonally for maybe 4 or 5 months a year and with certain numbers. And the feral horses are out there 24/7, 365. They compact the soil. They break down stream banks. And they compete with native species for forage. And they're not native species. They are not species the monument was established to protect.
Yeah. I was just curious, you know, obviously you talked about a lot of concerns that there are as part of this new resource management plan. Is there anything you think that is there anything good in this plan that you think, you know, has not been addressed in the past or, you know, that you think is
there
a positive?
There are a couple of good things, but they have loopholes that mitigate the goodness. There's some what BLM calls lands with wilderness characteristics that have been designated. Adjacent to the designated Soda Mountain Wilderness. But they leave the door open to go in there with their chainsaws, as well as leave swaths up to 100 feet wide on roads that border those. When you're cutting swaths along roads that wide, that, you know, the whole purpose of this wildlife crossing that's now scheduled for the south side of Interstate 5 is to increase connectivity. And what BLM plans to do as far as chopping up the inside of the monument tends to take away from that. Another good thing that they've done is they've designated a number of miles of stream as eligible for protection under the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. But once again, they've left the back door wide open for pretty heavy-duty logging of those areas. Yeah. Cutting trees up to 29 inches in diameter, a quarter mile away from what they call communities at risk, 120 feet from property lines with structures. The science says you protect from the home out, and home hardening is the best way to protect protect structures from wildfire.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, there's good things in there, but that there are a lot of loopholes or there's ways in which those could be misinterpreted that are not going to.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, we protested this along with several other conservation groups, and they had a refrain in their protest responses, basically, and I'm quoting here, The presidential proclamations don't require BLM's decisions to be those that are most protective of monument objects. Multiple uses are allowed to the extent they're not inconsistent with proclamations. Well, what does not inconsistent mean? Well, in their objectives and management direction, they say that going forward, all projects would be reviewed for compatibility with protecting monument objects and values during the implementation of subsequent projects. And they refer to a manual, and the manual doesn't really give a definition of compatibility. So it's pretty loosey-goosey. And given BLM's predilection for chainsaw therapy, basically BLM's position has always seemed to be logging is the answer. What's your question? We're real concerned. We're real concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I was also just curious about, you know, because it's very timely, is that, you know, President Trump was just inaugurated on Monday and, you know, has very different views on national monuments and logging and other things than, you know, President Biden did. Are you worried about how this resource management plan could be used under the Trump administration, you know, differently than maybe the goals that Biden might have had?
We're certainly worried about that. We're certainly worried about that. And we'll have to see what the BLM has planned when they come up with implementation. You know, we're already concerned because under the prior plan, it said that anything that the BLM would do would be subject to detailed project-level National Environmental Policy Act analysis. And the interim management guidance from the director required this compatibility study, whatever it was. Nevertheless, up here on Emigrant Creek Road and South Chinkapin Mountain Road and East Hyde Lake Road, BLM went whole hog on what they called hazard tree removal. I call it hazard tree logging because there were hundreds of acres and dozens of acres and hundreds of large trees, many of them 36 inches in diameter, that BLM cut out without any project-level detailed NEPA analysis, without any compatibility study. And when we complained to BLM, the assistant monument manager had the gall to write me an email saying there is no logging occurring in the monument. Well, those of us who saw the thousands of trees and dozens of stumps are thinking, who are we going to believe, BLM or our lion eyes? So if that's what they did under the old plan, we are indeed concerned about what they'll do under the new plan.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you for talking to me about this stuff. This was very insightful to learn about this monument and kind of the issues with this new plan and kind of what we might expect in the future.
Yeah, like, you know, the Soda Mountain Wilderness Council, we started trying to protect this area 41 years ago. And it's been two steps forward, one step back for those four decades. We got the Wilderness Study Area recommended. We got the Cascades-Siskiyou Ecological Emphasis Area. We got the original monument. We got grazing lease buyouts. We got the Soda Mountain Wilderness. We got the monument expanded. And we got wild and scenic designation for Jenny and Spring Creeks. And so, all things considered, we will continue forward to do the best job we can to continue to defend and protect this incredibly special area, which is just a great gift to not only the incredible variety of species that depend on it, but also to human residents of the region.
That was JPR reporter Roman Battaglia. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.